Welcome to the Shofar Stellenbosch Sermon Series. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.
As we said tonight, we have a testimony evening, and Mariette, she's going to come and just stir the waters a little bit for us, because lots of us don't know that we actually have a testimony. And so Mariette, come, we're ready to receive you. Let's give her a round of applause.
Good evening, church. No announcements from me tonight, except this one. The good news is about to commence. Amen. Why testify? We're going to speak now about the power of our testimony. This is also a power message, which means it's very short, and we're going to go very quick. But you are very clever, so we're going to like tap on our shoulders, our friends, and we're going to like nudge them and go, come on, as you like make that note, you can do this. Okay, so let's pray. Jesus, thank you tonight. We have no desire for anything other than your word, your truth, your spirit, God. We just open up our hearts and we say, Father, you speak to us. Your power, Lord. Your power, your gospel is the power, Father. Thank you for that, Jesus, for your truth, God, that sets free and that mobilizes our hearts and our tongues to speak, Father, tonight, Lord, and tomorrow, God, and the day after, just of your goodness, Lord, in Jesus' name. All God's testifiers said, amen. That's a new word, maybe. Okay, let's start. We've got 4 points, and the first question I want to ask is, what is a testimony? Let's look and what the secular world says. So this is not church or like Bible, just the plain secular world, everyday workplace. You can go to Oxford Dictionary, and they're going to say to you, it is giving evidence as a witness in a law court, or it means to serve as evidence or proof that something exists or is the case. So according to the world, each time we testify, we give proof of the existence of Jesus Christ as Lord. Yes, we've got 5 people excited, but at the end of this power message, we're all going to be excited, amen, about that. So you guys, we don't always have the opportunity to preach to people because we need to get our work done, our studies, you know, all the things in life. But all the time, God gives us opportunities to testify. And each one of those times, whether it's something very quick and small we testify about, and whether it's a whole long story of our life we share, we're giving proof to people that Jesus Christ is true, that he exists, that he is alive, that he overcame death, and that his provision is more than enough for us. So let's look at why we testify. One of the amazing points is, it's to overcome the enemy of this world. So we've got an enemy and we've got a king. So there's a war going on. And it's just Jesus and Satan. There's no option C of like, I'll just chill a little. I'm not pro or against Jesus. I'll just chill a little. No, there's A and B. God says, you're either for me or against me. So now we know there's an enemy and there's fights happening, but each time we testify, according to the word of God, we're overcoming the enemy. Let's look what it says, Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. The Message translation says, and they were not more in love with themselves. In other words, they were in love with this desire, this truth to be known because of their life. They were in love with the fact that through their lives, people can see Jesus. The next point, why we testify. So we overcome the enemy. We testify because it's a very natural outflow. What happens when you win a super duper large car and plane tickets for 40 friends to the most coolest place on earth? Just as soon as you get that announcement and it's not a scam, it's true, and you scream about it, what's the next thing you do? Somebody said Facebook, somebody else is going to be like, phone their mom, I don't know, their bestie, their dog, it's animal free, like, you know, pet friendly. We tell people. Why are you going to tell people? Because you're excited. It's amazing. So you guys, to testify is a natural outflow from something that happens. Another reason why we testify, each time we testify, whether it's quickly or slowly, whether it's a long testimony or a short one, we bring glory to Christ. Because the testimony is what Jesus has done and what he is doing. So we overcome the enemy, we encourage others, we bring glory to Christ. The last point, why we testify, it's beautiful, it's Hebrews 10. People, I love this scripture, look at this. Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more, as you see the day approaching. So you guys, to encourage one another is actually not a cute, like, cool option. It's a command from the Lord. He says, exhort one another. Come together in groups. Build each other up. And one of the ways that we do this is we testify to each other. So when we testify, we must understand that we're not just telling somebody a story and giving God glory. We're giving hope to somebody else. When we testify, we're saying to them, what God has done for me, God can do for you. Many times I've been in situations where people were really downcast. They didn't have a lot of encouragement at that stage. And God would remind me of other people's testimonies, of my friends or family. And then I could share with them and say, listen, you know what God did, and my cousins, and my small group leader, and my this, and my that, and my missions leader. Oh, my friend, my pastor's life. Once I was flying on a plane between East and West Coast in America, and I was really tired. I wasn't feeling that lucky anymore. And there were two people next to me. And I was like, Lord, I cannot waste this opportunity. So please, Lord, would you give me something to speak to these people, a word, anything. And at a stage, I'm reading our Lekker Walking with Jesus book there on the plane. And as I read the one testimony of how the one Malawi missions team years ago supernaturally went through the border when they couldn't. There wasn't electricity, but they received the fax that told them they could go through. As I read it, the Holy Spirit says, this is for this woman. So I'm like, pardon me, do you? She's not Christian. She doesn't. I'm like, do you want to maybe read this? She's like, yes. And she reads it. And she's like, oh, maybe it's real. Maybe it's real, this Christian thing. Those were her words. So you guys, testimonies. There's different ways that we can testify. Whether it's passing it on through a book. Whether it's telling somebody what God has done. Okay. What is a testimony? Why we testify? Let's look. Second last point. What keeps us from testifying? Obviously, there's more reasons than what I'm mentioning. We're just doing a little bit of a nutshell here. The first thing is, maybe you haven't found that pearl of great price. Because in Matthew 13:45, it says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. When he has found that one pearl of great price, he went and he sold everything that he had so he could buy it. So guys, sometimes we don't testify because we're not walking in that truth of receiving Jesus. It's the relationship, the love that he has for us. What else keeps us from testifying? Fear of man. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man lays a snare. It's a fang plak. They're going to catch you when we fear man. But whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. So you guys, when we fear if people are going to like us or not, it's very difficult just to say, Lord, my life is about whether people know you or not. Whether people think you're awesome or not. But when we say, Lord, I don't want to fear man anymore. I want to fear you. God comes and there's a boldness that comes with that and a desire that comes with that to testify, to share of his glory. Another reason why we sometimes don't testify is we get distracted. You're not busy with living waters if you're not busy with it because you're distracted with other things. The people that are thirsty next to you, you're not going to be handing out that water. Just because you're distracted. It doesn't mean you're not able to receive it. But again, God comes and he calls us back and he says, come to me again, like tonight, again, every day. We've got this opportunity to focus back on Jesus. Okay, last one before we go to the fourth point. The lie that your testimony is not extravagant or big enough. You guys, that's a lie that is from Satan. Because if you say you've got extravagant and powerful and less powerful testimonies, that's like saying a cup of water is more wet or but less wet. Water can only be wet. When Jesus does something and there's a testimony, it can only bring in glory. Because the amazing thing is not that your sin is less, no. It's that you met with Jesus. That's the testimony. That is the testimony. Not that the thing that has changed is very crazy and it's cool. And that's exciting when people tell crazy stories. Hallelujah, when God does crazy things, he's amazing. But the glory comes to him, and the reason our jaws drop open and we worship Jesus is because of his heart that is real and because the cross is empty. That's why we give him praise. That's why we testify. It's because of Jesus. The testimonies are not about us. And then lastly, the last point, who or what gives us the ability to testify? Is it our personality? Is it our upbringing that determines whether we testify in, you know, a culture that you grew up in that place of sharing testimony? Or, no, you were like quite reserved. You don't speak about stuff like that. Not at the dinner table. You speak about your day and the grades and the sunshine. if somebody that's really, really reserved and super duper introverted wins the lotto, are they going to tell people? So that means that it's not true. It's not about where we at. It's about where God wants to bring us to. So you guys, here's the best news for me about testifying. Acts 1 verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Amen? So you guys, there's a place where we do receive the Holy Spirit that gives us power to be his witnesses everywhere. The classroom, the workplace, the bride, the social place. But the thing is, God still gives us opportunity to work with him or not. To submit to that tugging of the Spirit saying, sure, they're talking about that leg. Don't you want to tell them what happened Sunday night in church to your friend's leg? So I want to urge you, I want to encourage you, and I'm quickly going to pray for us. You guys, God has made the perfect provision. He's not going to do it again. Jesus Christ died and he rose. He rose. He overcame everything that could ever hold us back. He overcame the enemy. So God has already given us this ability to say yes to him, and he's overcome the enemy. The enemy is defeated. So the only ones that can keep us back, quickly point to your nose. It's you. It's the only one, because Jesus has made a way. The enemy has been defeated. Now there's little lies, little fear of this, that, what, to keep us distracted and busy. But Jesus Christ has risen, and he's coming back so soon. So every opportunity that we have, we must love on people. We must say, God, remind me of something. Give me a gap. Give me a cap. That's literally what I do. Many of my testimonies of crazy places where I've met with people and have shared the gospel with them, I was praying saying, in the conversation, like in my heart or my mouth, closed with tongues, not like shia rabba baba, and like in their conversation, like just rest of saying, Lord Jesus, I don't know when I'm going to meet with this person again. I don't know who's going to give the gospel to them again. Would you give me an opportunity now? I'm open. Spirit, I'm listening. Spirit, I'm listening. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for overcoming, Lord, that you give us the ability to overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and by just loving you more, Father. But we just want to say that we're willing, Father. Come and stir up, come open up our hearts, Lord, and show us what you've done already in our lives. God, you've saved us of so much, Father, and you're going to still save us. You're busy, Lord, saving us. But Father, we want to have an urgency, Lord, to testify, to tell people that are hungry, that are thirsty, God, to hand out that water. So Holy Spirit, we give you over control. If you want to give control to God and be more sensitive just to Spirit, you can just raise your hand to him as a sign. Lord Jesus, here we are. We're saying, Spirit of God, we're here. We're willing. We want to hear you. You know the need of every person before we even meet them. So in those conversations, at those braais, Lord, when we're in class, when we're walking down Victoria Street, we say, Spirit of God, we yield ourselves to you. We say, speak to us so that we can tell, Father, of what you've done. We are willing, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So now that you're excited to rush out those doors and go testify to people and on your phones and in the street and everywhere you live, we're first going to keep you here because we're going to have awesome testimonies for you. So we're going to start, call up our friend Tremaine. Let's give him a round of applause. He can't clap hands tonight, but we're clapping for you.
Thank you, Mariette. So right before I came up, Sias nudged me, looks at me with a smirk on his face, and he says, remember to talk faster, because I actually speak quite slow. So I'll do my best. So as a baby, I was adopted, and I never knew my biological parents, obviously, and for some reason, I never had the urge to find them. And then about 2 years ago, in my second year, I was in the evening service, and I just felt God saying to me, go find your biological mother and tell her thank you for what she's done for you, for giving you a chance in life. And then I committed to do that, and then I went to speak to my real mother, and I asked her, are you okay with this? I don't like want to offend you. And then she ended up being more excited than I was about it, because she said always wanted us to find our parents so that she can just give them a big hug and say thank you for like making me a parent. Otherwise, she wouldn't be able to have children. So then we just started searching immediately. We went on Google, Facebook, found nothing. Then we phoned the adoption agency, and they said they like that department closed down. My file is missing, so I couldn't. Like there was no way. Then I phoned the university where she studied. We had her name and where she studied, what she studied. That's all we had. And then they told us, or they told me that they unfortunately cannot give any information about people that studied there. And then about a month and a half ago, my mom was at a friend, and she phoned me and asked, what's the name of your mother again? And then I told them, I told her the name, and then I told her it's not going to work. We have tried Google. We have tried everything. we can't find her. And then she said, just give me the name. We're going to do our best. And then I was at the semifinals of the first S tournament when this happened. I coached our first team for Dagbreek. And then I looked at my coach, or Charlie was the other guy. And then I told him, looked at him and I said, this is going to be a wonderful evening. I don't know why, I have immense peace about it. And then 15 minutes later, my mom phones back. They have information about a woman. Randomly, she just typed in the name and Google just threw out information about this one woman. And then I went on to, that evening I went on to Facebook, did a bit of research. and I told my mom, I actually think this looks positive, but let's not jump ahead of ourselves. Let's take it slow. Let's be smart about it. And then, my mom, amazing woman, she goes and SMSs the woman. telling her about the situation that we're in, explaining everything, and then just asking, if it is maybe you, can you just indicate, and if it's not you, please let us know. And then the woman SMSs back, it is her, and she just wants to handle her emotions, then she'll get back to us. And then you think, okay, maybe a day, two, and then an hour later, she phones my mom. And then they speak for an hour, and my mom phones me and says, okay, it is a well done. Ooh, we found her. And then she gives my number to my biological mother now. And then she says, then I told her, please just give her my, or give her number to me so that I can know when she contacts me. And then that was on Monday. And then the Friday evening, then my biological mother phoned me and we spoke for about 50 minutes, just starting to or get to know each other. And then we kept contact, and all the while I found out then she that my mothers spoke to each other the whole time, becoming really close friends. And then I would say, my biological mother would ask something about me, and then I would answer it, and it's just, oh, yeah, your mother said that as well. So then we arranged to meet. And then we had to find a date that will suit me, my biological mother, and my real mom. So we decided that at the end of the school holidays, we would meet. That was last weekend. Then on our way there, me and my mom were driving in the car, and she looks at me and she's like, "Are you nervous?" And then I look at her, and then I just told her, "Now I have the most peace I've ever had in my life at the moment. Just that supernatural peace within me." So we met my mother, biological mother, last Saturday. We spoke from 11 a.m. till 5 p.m. Just speaking, catching up, just telling her what I've done with my life, where I am. And then she asked me, do I want to meet her family? She has two daughters and one son and a beautiful just family. And then I said, that would be great, but it's up to you. So the next morning I met her family and we just got along from the start. No awkwardness. It was just like this joy within all of us. Just what I want to share is how amazing it is that we tried everything in our power and nothing worked. And the 2 weeks leading up to my mother, or we finding my actual mother, was like worldly, really not a good 2 weeks for me. But spiritually, a brilliant 2 weeks. And I just felt the Lord telling me in that time, just have patience, endure. Just carry on with what you're doing. Things will work out. And we actually searched for 1 year and 2 months. And not in that time, not once did I doubt whether I will find her and whether I should find her. I knew that I had to find my mother and I had to tell her thank you. So I just want to encourage everyone here that if the Lord tells you something, if he gives you a message, don't think it'll happen in your time. It'll happen in God's time. Endure, have patience, and wait for him to answer you. Yes, thank you.
Hello, hello, everybody. My testimony is about healing. So I had chronic sinuses for a very long time, and I grew up in Botswana, so it's a very dry place. Pollen is everywhere. If you go outside, you sneeze all the time. You wake up, you're sneezing. You go to bed, you're sneezing. You have to carry a box of tissue with you everywhere you go. You can't jog. You can't climb a mountain because your eyes will itch and you scratch them out. It was really bad. So I think it was Convergence. Yes, it was Convergence, and it was the evening when Pastor Fred was preaching. So I got there in the morning, and I had duty, and it was really bad. I was sneezing everywhere, and my head was banging. Everything was really bad. I had taken medication. The medication was not helping, and I was like, but Papa Fred is preaching tonight, so I have to be awake. I have to listen. So I was sitting there, and praise and worship began, and I was like, oh my goodness, my head can't stop. It is banging. I just want to sneeze all the time. So I sat down while everybody else was praising and worshiping, and I was like, God, as far as I'm concerned, in your word, there is a promise. And I want it now. I can't wait. So I sat there and I prayed for 2 seconds. I was like, please, please, your healing, please, I need it now. So I just sat there and I said, amen. And I only noticed 5 minutes later that, oh my gosh, everything is clear. I'm perfectly fine. And I stood up and I was so happy. And I was like, yay, yay, praise and worship time. But then the devil comes and he's like, just take a little piece of tissue. You are going to sneeze. So just have one in your hand just in case. And I was like, nope, nope, nope. I'm going to put it in my bag. I will worship tonight. I will not sneeze tonight. I will not have a headache tonight. You are a liar. So, yeah. I think it was a month later, the sinuses came back and everything. And at that point, I was really fed up. For the service, I was fed up because I wanted to listen. But this time, I was fed up for my life. I was sick and tired. So I was like, you know what? I was telling my friend, Brian, said, no, today, I'm going to get healed. I think this is the day. And I used to close my windows because the pollen used to come in and all of that stuff. So I closed the windows, and I was like, oh, snap, I think today is the day. Open them up. I opened them wide. Huh? Opened them wide, and I was like, I will climb the mountain, and I will not have my eyes be itchy. I will not sneeze. I will not carry around a box of tissues ever again. And, I told everybody, and they were like, this child, though. Then I woke up the next morning, and I was perfectly fine. I had no hay fever. I had no itchy eyes or sneezing or anything like that. And I was like, is this real? I was like, is this for real, though? So I went to class, and I was like, I'm not going to carry tissue with me. I will not sneeze. And that was perfectly fine for 2 weeks. And then one evening, I was studying until 2 a.m., and the devil doesn't play. He doesn't sleep. So at 2 o'clock in the morning while I was going to bed, and that day it was really cold, so I had closed the windows to keep, the warmth in the room. And I was about to go to bed, and all of a sudden, all the symptoms came back all at once. Like, you know, the itch comes gradually. No, the itch came full blast at once. The sneezing came full blast at once. My throat was itchy full blast at once. And, you know, you want to use tissue, but you're like, really? Seriously? This is not going to work. So I was prancing up and down my room, and I was like, no. This must be the devil. So I prayed, and I prayed from 2 o'clock until 3:15. And at 3:15, it stopped. The itching was gone. Everything was gone. And I have never had sinuses ever again. So now I can jog. Yes. Yeah, so now I can jog, now I can climb mountains, I don't have to be locked up in my room scared, the pollen count is high, none of that nonsense. So yes, praise the Lord to Jehovah Rapha, he is my healer, and he's your healer too. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, good evening. It's good to be back in a student or evening service again. It's been a while. It's always nice to experience the vibe and the evening services. It's an awesome opportunity to just come and share my testimony. I shared this morning as well. I was sitting early this morning and just giving God like some time and asking him what he wants me to focus on or what he wants me to share specifically. And as Mariette have shared, it's such an honor to actually look back on your life, and we must give ourselves more time to just look back and see God's hand in our lives. Because we don't do that. Sometimes we get into a situation where we find ourselves and we so look into all these big mountains that surround us. And we forget about the times that God has taken away all those mountains and he's flattened all of them out. So for me, quickly, I grew up in the States, Bloemfontein, Free States, in the middle of South Africa. And As a young boy, passionate about rugby sport, growing up as a six-year-old, I was running around telling my parents, you're going to see me one day on TV, very passionate about sports. And towards the end of my high school career, rugby began to play a big role in my life. I had a motorboat accident in matric. I rode through three exams in the end of my matric year. I had a motorboat accident where me and some of my friends went out skiing for the day. And then we were two behind on the kneeboards, and I fell from the kneeboard. They made a turn to come and get me, and the guys that was on the boat still made jokes of the guy that was not behind in the boat, just went straight over me. So I lost the propeller, caught my foot, my left foot, and it was amputated later that day in hospital. Well, the propeller amputated it itself just below my calf on the left-hand side. So I remember waking up that next morning in hospital. I mean, he obviously hasn't faced life and any of that, though, but the rugby dreams. Found myself in a place for the next couple of weeks where, yes, I was confused. I didn't find any reason see where God can use me or find any purpose, because I had so much depending on the rugby. And maybe, as I said, any of you that sits here today that you don't want to get into a place like that to realize how big you've made certain idols or certain things in your life. For me, that was the biggest thing to deal with, because I realized then for the first time how big rugby was. It was, I gave my life when I was a nine-year-old boy, gave my life to God. I went to the front, gave my life to God. And I never had a real spirit-filled relationship with him. And it's moments like that that you realize that you always say that God is number one. Rugby was 1, 2, 3, 4, and God maybe 4 somewhere in my life then. And I had amazing people that supported me, but me and my girlfriend back then, we're dating for 3 months in our matric year. Today we're married for 6.5 years, and she's been standing with me. And that in itself is amazing testimony. Every time when we experience anything, any breakthroughs, it's so awesome, because from day one, we've been spending all these times together. And but a couple of weeks later, after the accident, I had to get my first prosthetic leg. And I just remember being, as I said, so confused. Coming to Stellenbosch, I came to study accounting. And I woke up one morning in res as well. Yes, so I told God, my word, why am I here? What are we doing? Because previously, I had all these talents and the rugby and all the things that I could see myself making an impact. Oh God, you can use the rugby to honor you. So back then you were in my first year I was standing and I had nothing to give to God, nothing. Standing and saying, God, and it was early in the morning as well, like the lady just shared, 2 o'clock in the morning, I don't know what time it was, but it was in the middle of the night. And I didn't hear God's audible voice, but I just got this peace, God saying that I'm exactly where he wants me. He doesn't need all those things. Doesn't need any of the talents. Doesn't need whatever we feel we have that he can actually use, because he gave that to us in any way freely. And if he gave it to us once, he can give it again. As I said, a couple of weeks after I lost a leg, I had to get a prosthetic leg. Yes, what a mission. I walked in there and saw these rubber cup legs for the first time. I was like, no way. The biggest thing for me was people looking at it. When I was walking around on campus for three years or so, my first 3 years, I didn't wear shorts. Every now and then I would. But the biggest thing, people looking at it. And I was forced to deal with it. I always said, like, little kids is the best, coming up, running to you, knocking on the leg, looking at it, and something like, it's like, so you're forced to, in a way, deal with this thing, and then the parents would grab them, and like, hey, lose a mate. And I said, kids forces you to deal with these things, which is brilliant. That's one thing that God have, like, showed me in this time as well, that I'm glad there was something visible that I had in my life that I could deal with, because I was forced to deal with it. So many times it's easy that we can cover things up. We keep them there, but it's keeping you away from God. And it's keeping you away from living fully in the purpose that God has in store for you. As I said, I was finding myself in this, even that moment when I was in rest, waking up and God saying to me that I'm exactly where he wants me. I didn't wake up the next morning knowing everything's fine. And otherwise it was still the same thing. Trying to find purpose in what I'm doing and trying to get back into sport. I was passionate about sport, as I said. So I started running again. And 5 years later, after my accident, I had the honor of representing my country at the Paralympic Games in Beijing. And we walked onto the opening ceremony. And this is definitely one of the most memorable moments in my whole life. We walked onto the opening ceremony in Beijing in China with these 90,000 crazy Chinamen shouting in the stadium. And we're walking in and I had tears in my eyes. One thing, my heart was pounding because I needed to come back and run here again in 3 or 4 days' time. But my tears was running down my face, because for the first time I realized that this was plan A. This was never plan B or C or something that the rugby was actually planned for me, but I need to settle for whatever's left and take that and make the most of it. No ways. In that moment I realized this is it. This is exactly where God wants to use me. I could get excited that next morning, dreaming about my athletics, dreaming about God using me in that way, and not needing to settle. Because it's easy when you go, the only times you go back to that is when it gets tough. Then you think, shucks, would have been nice on that side. Shucks, it would have been great if this didn't happen or that didn't happen. But when God comes, and for each and every one, he has that. He wants that moment with you where he comes and he says, you know what, life throws things at you. And this is not the last thing it will throw at you. There will be a couple of things more, but he's more than that. And in that, he loves to come and say, you know what, I work all things out for those better than you can ever imagine or dream of. 4 years later, I had the opportunity in London to stand. We won the 4x1 relay in London 4 years ago, and I could walk onto the podium with three of my other friends and listen to the national anthem, seeing the flag being raised. And as a kid, I was dreaming running out for the box. So you know this like Zulu of his thing and the Impi song and all of it, running the box, running out and standing and singing the national anthem. That would have been my thing. Like dreaming that I could experience that one day. And yeah, I was walking onto the podium at the Paralympic Games, and I could experience more than I could ever dream of. Not in the same way, but I wouldn't change it for anything in the world. And in that, so many times I said, we see ourselves and our lives going in one way and see it achieving things. And on the route there's so many things that God wants to celebrate with us, like the little things that we accomplish, things that we get to, big things also, that we just don't see in our plan that we've set out for ourselves. And for me, it was sitting, as I said, that evening going home and just honoring God and saying, God, thank you for being involved in every single step of my life and experiencing what I have, specifically in that moment, as I said, dreams that he's given me that I had as a young kid in so many different ways. But I want to encourage each and every one of you. I said, give God the opportunity to come and show you, even this evening, while you're sitting, even maybe you're first year sitting in the same place where I was sitting, confused. I was studying something because I knew I had to come and study. I don't know where God was going to use me exactly in this thing. I'm standing here, I don't know, when was I first year? 13 years later. And I can promise you, I thank God for, yeah, these earthly things that we honor him as well, and I thank him for the things that I could accomplish earth-wise. But the thing the most, that God, I'm standing here today, 13 years later, after I've had my accident, I honor God for every single bit of that and the way and the road that he's walked with me. And I hope that encourages each and every one of you. I don't know if there's still one more testimony left. Is there? Yes, yeah, it's okay. Awesome. So thanks. Right. Thanks, Adam.
So, thank you, Tremaine. And this is an honor. And just something that really touched me about even Tremaine just sharing. What an opportunity. He didn't say, but his mother was studying at varsity at Coffsies, and she got pregnant, and then she decided to give him up for adoption and take the option of giving life. And where's Tremaine now? Yeah, right in front. Come, tell us about that letter. I want you to share that quickly before we're going to...
Okay, so... my mother wrote a letter for me, which I completely forgot about. My real mom read the letter to me when I was about 9 years old, and then I completely forgot about it. And then when I asked her, I want to start looking for my mother, then she said, yeah, there's this letter that she wrote for you. And it's actually written on her birthday. The year after I was born. And then she told me that in the letter it said that the reason I'm letting you go is because I want you to have a chance in a real family with parents, with both parents, and she knew I was going to a family with a brother. So she said, we have the finance to take care of you, but I want you to grow up in a family with a dad and a mom. And she said that her relationship with her, that boyfriend at the time wasn't going to work out, and she still chose to send me to her family and give me a chance, which is actually cool for me, because that was actually the reason why I wanted to thank her, that she gave me a chance in life, and that was exactly the reason why she let me go. So, yeah.
So, in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. It's amazing. Everything in your life, good or bad, you and I can decide, all these testimonies tonight, we can decide whether we're going to give it to God as worship or whether we're going to be critical and negative and say, if only my life could this, or if only I could be like somebody else. But the amazing thing is, Scripture says that everything in your life is either God sent or God used. So whether the devil comes against you, whether the world, your humanity, when every good and perfect gift comes from God, it's from the Father of lights, Romans verse 1 and 16 and 17, it's from the Father of lights with whom there's no variation, no shadow of turning. Everything that's good in your life comes from God. But in your life, there's also going to be a lot of bad things. In your life, you're going to be faced with trials, suffering, humanity, people that hurt you. But do you believe that God can use that and get glory out of that? Because that's what that scripture says. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. All things. Good, bad, even the stuff that we just want to move away out of our lives and just wish it away. Even the bad choices you've made, God wants to work all things together for His good. And so what we're going to do tonight, we're going to worship a little bit differently. We're going to bring God our bad stuff. We're going to bring God our suffering, the stuff that we don't understand, because that is real, real worship out of a place of brokenness, where we come to the cross with nothing. Like Arno said, nothing. We want to come to the cross with everything sorted out in our lives. But when we come to the cross, like Mariette said, with the good and the bad, it doesn't matter what the testimony is about. It's about who Christ is. And so that is real worship. And we need to train ourselves, because what we want to do is we want to just have the nice experiences in worship. We want to define worship as the nice songs and the emotional stuff and the events we go to and jump up and down and say, oh, the worship was awesome. The question is not whether the worship was awesome to you. It was whether the worship was awesome to God. Whether He receives our worship. And I love the story of this woman coming to Jesus. And Jesus says, do you know what? Salvation is only for the Jews. Very offensive saying. And then she said, but Jesus, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the table. And Jesus turned and said, that's worship. The fact that you can bring all your brokenness, all your hurt, all your pain, all your anger, all the fears, and you can bring it to the cross. So tonight, that's the invitation. That's what this service is about. It's not for us to be fancy, not for us to pretend, but for you to bring that place in your heart to God where you're actually sometimes afraid to go. Say, God, I believe and trust that you can work all things together for good to those who love you, and I love you, and I'm called according to your purpose. So what we're going to do is we're going to partake of communion together tonight, because it's really the cross where our life begins and where our life ends. We're going to worship Him as the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the earth. We're going to worship Him as the Lamb, the perfect sacrifice. And our invitation tonight to each one of you and to myself, God's invitation is bring everything. Bring everything. But bring it on His terms. It's only by the blood of Jesus. And some of us, as we were worshiping this evening, I was just sensing some of us, we're so afraid to let go of control. Because we become masters at controlling. We're masters at keeping people and God at a distance because we're afraid. But you know, in God's love, there is no fear. 1 John 4 says it, verse 17, 18 onwards, it says, His perfect love casts out every fear. The word actually means violently throw away. When you come into the love of God, every fear goes. So we're going to ask the ushers, where's all the ushers? They're going to start giving out the communion. I think they're up there somewhere. The door is opened. They're coming. Turn to your neighbor and say, they're coming. They're coming. There they're coming. See, you're all prophets. You didn't even know it. You spoke it into being, and there they come. Okay, we're going to just spend a moment. We're going to listen to this song and the words in between of that John Piper shares, and then we're going to go into worship. So I want us not to talk right now. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to just listen to this song. Father, we thank you for this freedom to come to you with our brokenness tonight. Only the blood of Christ qualifies us. And we thank you for your heart to receive us. Take all of us. Thank you, Lord, that you look at us tonight through Jesus, and that qualifies us to be partakers of your divine nature. Thank you, God.
I come. Return to the Lord, the one who's broken, the one who's torn me heart. You strike down to bind me up. You say you do it all in love, that I might know you in your suffering. And though you slay,
is all your affliction momentary? Not only is all your affliction light in comparison to eternity and the glory there, but all of it is totally meaningful. Every millisecond of your pain from the fallen nature or fallen man, every millisecond of your misery in the path of obedience is producing a peculiar glory you will get because of that. I don't care if it was cancer or criticism. I don't care if it was slander or sickness. It wasn't meaningless. It's doing something. It's not meaningless. Of course you can't see what it's doing. Don't look to what is seen. When your mom dies, when your kid dies, when you got cancer at 40, when a car careens into the sidewalk and takes her out, don't say, it's meaningless. It's not. It's working for you an eternal weight of glory. Therefore, do not lose heart, but take these truths and day by day, focus on them. Preach them to yourself every morning. Get alone with God and preach His word into your mind until your heart sings with confidence that you are new and cared for.
Oh, you slay me, yet I will praise you. Though you take from me, I will bless your name, though you rule. song to the one who's all I need. I'll sing a song to the one who's all I need.
Father, thank you that our lives are not meaningless, but that you are raising up a generation of people that will speak and sing of your goodness. And tonight we're not here because we're fancy or because we can sing nice songs, because we wear cool clothes or because we have cool friends. We are here because we need a Savior to take our lives, take us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here, Lord, to breathe life into those rooms in our hearts, Lord, that we've locked away. Some of us, Lord, have put like cupboards in front of the room, the doors, God, we've locked it away, we've thrown away the key. Those rooms at the back, in the back of our lives, in our hearts, Lord, those places we don't want to go. But thank you that the gentle healer has come to our town today. Jesus, we worship you as the Lamb that was slain. Lord, it's a part of Christianity, Lord, that we don't want to always hear, Father, but we know that your Son will see a part of his pain for eternity, the Lamb that was slain. We worship you, Lord. Thank you tonight that you are here to set us free, to cause us to bring glory to your name. I'm going to ask you tonight that if you are one of two groups of people, the first group is you don't have a relationship with Jesus. You can jump up and down, but you've never come to that place of giving your whole heart to him. Because, you know, it's easy to say all this stuff, or like Ono said, when you're 9 years old, you give your life to God, but you just continue. Because you have all these dreams, and Jesus is just, come, be part of my dreams. Come and bless me in my dreams. But tonight you know that you must say, God, I want to be part of your dreams. And it doesn't matter what it is, I want to live to give you glory. That's the first group of people here tonight. You know that Jesus is not number one. He's number four. He's number seven in your life. And he's inviting you to give it all. He's inviting you to do something that you can't do, but he'll give you the grace to do that. It's called salvation. He will not ask you to do something that he's not made provision for. So that's the first group of people. The second group of people is here tonight, is you're really sitting on the throne of your life, but it's so hard for you to bring your brokenness to God. It's so hard to talk about that stuff that happened or that stuff without not registering bitter and negative thoughts and just wanting to run away. And you know tonight that tonight is a crossroad in your life, because you need to stop running. Stop running around away from the relationship. Stop running around away from the pain. Just bring it to Jesus. So I'm going to ask us all to stand. And I'm going to ask that first group, put your bread and your wine in your hand. We're going to start to partake together. Now. Is there anybody that has not received bread or wine? Just put up your hand. Some people here in the middle. Bread. Anybody that has not received bread, put up your left hand. If you've not received a glass with some juice in on with your right hand. really encourage you. What we're doing tonight is very holy. It's called communion. It's celebrating the death and the resurrection of Christ. So I'm going to invite you, if you are not, if Jesus is not number one in your life, I want you to come out, to come and stand here on my left-hand side. Just quickly come. And we're going to pray a prayer with you tonight. Or maybe you're backslidden. You're far away from Him. I want you to come, sir. Come tonight. If God is speaking to you tonight about this place of surrendering, and everything inside of you is saying at the moment, run. Run away. Struggle. You're struggling to trust. You're struggling to surrender everything to Him. But there's something of that pain that God wants you to bring Him tonight. Maybe it's a death. Maybe it's a question. And I want you to come out. I want you to bring your bread and your wine. I want you to come and stand here. And I want a friend of yours to come with you. There's some people here that are struggling with alcohol addiction. You're struggling with sexual addictions. You are struggling with just tacha and stuff and drugs. And it's all an escape mechanism. You are trying to escape, trying to be happy and fill yourself with something that you cannot. You know it's destructive. And tonight Jesus is going to heal you, but you need to bring Him that part, that rejection, that fear inside. You need to bring Him that pain. You need to bring Him that stuff, those questions. There's a lady here that has questioned. Your brother died when you were 13 years old, and you've been questioning and struggling and fighting, and the Lord wants to heal you tonight. He did not cause that. God cannot cause death or destruction or disease. He's a good Father, but we live in a world that is so destructive. The devil is here to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's his mission in your life. He wants to kill, he wants to steal, and he wants to destroy. But Scripture is very clear that Jesus has come to give life, and life in abundance. So if God is speaking to you tonight, sir, I want you to come. Quickly come. Because we're going to pray a prayer together. We're going to come to the cross. And we're going to say, God, I've messed up so many times, but it's not about me tonight. It's about you inviting me to a place of life. I just sense that some of you, you're struggling with intense addictions, and the Lord is going to break the hold of addiction over people here tonight. But you need to be honest and humble yourself. If that is you, I want you to come out. Just come. Just come to Him. Just come. We're going to partake of the bread and wine. We're going to say to the cross, we're going to say, God, thank you that you have given us the opportunity to break every stronghold, the captives to be free, the oppressed to go free. There's some people struggling with the heaviness. So before we're going to partake, we're going to start to worship now. I want you, if you are here with somebody and you have the boldness to do that, as part of taking communion tonight, I want you just to share one thing of God's goodness or His faithfulness in your life. We're going to start by thanksgiving. Just something you want to thank God for what He's done in His life, in your life. So we're going to start to worship. Band is going to play very softly, and then I want you just to turn to somebody, the people in front here, and then we're going to pray. So I want us, just facilitators or friends, we're going to just pray a prayer of thanksgiving. First recognizing what Christ has done. So let's do that. Quickly grab hold of just two by two as you're standing. Not three people, not four people.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.